I am so excited about two things tonight. One, I'm excited about spending time with you, and two, I'm so excited about this talk. In fact, I just feel like this is probably the talk of all talks. This is like, you know, the biggest high of your life. This is the most amazing experiential experience, yes, that you will ever have. And so I'm so excited about it that I'm just gonna I'm so exhausted. I'm just gonna sit here and be quiet and let you just talk to yourself, and that indeed will be the best talk. Well, that said, it was just a joke, unfortunately, because I know half of you got all excited and saying, oh boy, I don't have to listen to Bill. I really am excited about spending this sacred hour together. And so, if you will, I just want to invite you fully in your awareness to be here with me, to be here with everyone else who's here. We have usually about 100 people who are gathered together for this monthly call. I call it a call, but it's really a precious ceremonial time together. It's a time of blessing. And the words, whatever the words are, even though these words, granted, are the most amazing ones ever yet spoken in the whole world, the words are simply just a verbal commentary on something much, much deeper that's happening. And that, of course, is the miracle of creation that's happening within you. So I have come up with this amazing title, In the Eye of the Beholder. And the subtitle of that is something like Creating Your Own World Your Own Way. Well, I remember some years ago when I was in my doctoral program in psychology, first seeing that little film called The Eye of the Beholder. I don't know how many of you have seen it, but I recall being absolutely fascinated as I observed in the film, I think it was 10 different people seeing, meaning registering in their observing brains, and describing for the audience the film, 10 entirely different scenarios or versions of what was going on in a singular event that they were all observing. And that film got me to thinking about a theme in our humanity that's actually stayed with me ever since that time, and that's the possibility that our belief in an external reality is, frankly, a truly shaky assumption. It's a real leap of faith that, you know, just could not have a lot of groundedness to it. Nonetheless, since this belief that there really is an external reality is so ingrained in our daily human activities and interactions, come to think of it, I hadn't thought of this till now, so is our belief in Santa Claus. But let's not distract ourselves. Anyway, since it's so ingrained, I just decided to go on about my life behaving as though it were true. After all, it was just more convenient, and sometimes questioning things can, be most inconvenient. Then some years later, I came across Buddhism, Hinduism, Taoism, and a host of other more historically Eastern philosophies and religions. And I found a more collective worldview that not only questioned the existence of what we call external reality, quote-unquote, but actually downright proclaimed it to be inaccurate, unfounded. I thought, maybe this calls me to investigate the phenomenon a little more thoroughly and see what I find. So I started playing and experimenting with the concept that nothing really exists, you know, that it's all a maya, an illusion, a dream, as so many of the at the time far out philosophies called it. And then over the years, that approach led me to quantum physics, string theory, and other modern scientific breakthroughs that equally asserted that, sure enough, nothing in science, at least modern science, truly supports the belief that there is a world, quote, out there, unquote. So the thought occurred to me that this one question, with its focus on whether there is or isn't such a thing as reality, in quotes, just could be one of those doorways into freedom, into higher consciousness, you know, like a black hole is to the universe. So I thought, just as hanging out with this focus might give us the possibility of some grand leap forward in how we live in this human scene. And that leads us to this very moment. this very moment that we're spending together, this tender moment dedicated to each and every one of us being uplifted, a little notch here, a large jump there, lifted up into a space of personal freedom, perhaps bigger than we enjoyed a few moments ago. And of course, that's what I'm dedicated in these talks. As you know, I mainly spend some hours before picking up the phone, just connecting with, merging with, uniting with your soul, and then just open to what we want to say to each other. And so here it is. So I've done kind of the philosophical part of this, and I want to shift into the freedom part. So here's my thinking, and bear with me here. If you and I can break through any and every limitation that comes with the belief that we're actually looking out there and seeing something real, that is, if we can get free from any addiction we have to believing what we see and hear, what other perspective, this is the question, what other perspective might open up to us? What new freedom might reveal itself to us? What would take the place of reality, in quotes, in this new, open, expansive, possibility-filled world of options? So, if you will, come with me on what I hope will be an enticing journey into this new world, and let's see what together we might discover. So my first question to you is, what do you think might open to your awareness if you just stopped believing what you perceive? And here's what I mean by this personalized question. First, you're a human being, right? Well, okay, maybe for some of you, yes. Well, maybe for none of you, yes. Anyway, maybe you're a light being or a being of light, having a human experience. Now, that's a saying that we're all familiar with. I'm a spiritual being having a human experience. And maybe that description not only feels better to you, it maybe also opens fresh possibilities of how to relate to this human experience, especially if your primary identity is that you're a spiritual being or a soul or a being of light or a divine being or an I am presence having a human experience. In other words, it leaves you feeling not so hooked in, locked in. I know that for many people with whom I've talked, perceiving themselves as a spiritual being having a human experience has actually allowed them to claim and maintain, come to think of it, a sense of enhanced freedom, a freer position over the forest of life than if they felt themselves locked into being a regular human being. So, as this spiritual being that you are, as this divine presence having a human experience, what is it that your soulful center, your divine nature, your deep inspiration, your core truth, what is it that that's whispering to you right now in response to the question, what might open to you? What might you discover if you just stopped believing what you perceive? Now, what I'm about to say may or may not correspond to what you're hearing internally right now, and if it doesn't, please don't stop listening to that whisper from within yourself. Mainly just let my words enhance your internally sourced truth, not replace it. So here's one sense I have of what might happen, and this is only one of many versions. As a first phase, I'm guessing you just might feel a lifting of a burden. The burden, for example, of believing. The burden of feeling responsible for what you've held as real or important. The burden of believing that it's real, that it's important. And then second, after some period of internal relief from the lifting of that burden, my sense is that you'd quickly recognize that, you know, you don't have to believe anything. That's right. You'd awaken to the fact that you've just entered the expansive realm of what I'd like to call freedom from belief. You don't have to believe anything, know anything, feel responsible for anything. Even, interestingly, you don't have to like have principles to live by or be loyal to strongly held values. You don't have to have a stated position about anything. And, you know, if you look at it, that's really freedom. Third, it would occur to you that you could just be. Sure enough, that's what I said, just be. You wouldn't have to relate to that funny thing called external reality and all of what it calls us to at all. You'd have no calling to join its perspectives or to deal with its dualities or to enter into its processes unless you wanted to or felt called to. You've just escaped what I'd like to call the spell of reality and its historical claims to your allegiance. Now, let's look at it from a different angle. Assume, once again, you've just awakened from being in this thing called human reality, in quotes. And you're not in the movie of it anymore. In fact, you're sitting out there in the audience, even if it looks like you might be an audience of one, looking at the movie. You're out in the audience looking at the movie, or if you prefer, you're over the forest or outside the box, whatever analogy you want to use. Anyway, you're not a part of the story of it all anymore. And so my second sense is that it might look like this for you. First, you're free, really free, free enough even to be nowhere, free enough not to be related to anything, to be nothing, with no identity, not even any self. Again, just free. Then, with freedom from everything in place, you're free to what you're free for. And I believe you just might find a few styles of freedom to suit your fancy. That is, versions of freedom that will naturally find you and insert themselves either right into you or simply fill the space where you were several minutes ago. And the first freedom is the freedom to be a whole different style of presence here on earth. You just might feel done, finished, complete with who you were and what you were doing here. You probably will feel like an inner permission, maybe one that was previously not so available to you, a permission to let it all go and be a whole new presence here with a different purpose, a different nature. You know, I had a privilege just recently of talking with a really good friend who did just that. After years and years of struggling with the pulls and tugs of this thing called reality and feeling humanity's claims on him, he finally said yes, and he bit the bullet, and he threw himself into a fuller knowing that he had the right and the deservingness to leap beyond that former, earlier, smaller reality. And today he's out of the movie, sitting in the audience and opening to a fresh identity and a new self with expansive possibilities for being. So that's one freedom. And a second style of freedom, and I've got three of them here, a second style of freedom that just might infect you once you let go of this funny thing called reality, or who knows, it might just infect you now while we're talking. Note that cute little hypnotic suggestion. Wasn't that adorable? Let me just say it again, bring it right out into the open. Who knows, it might just infect you now while we're talking together, is that you'll feel free to be a kind of presence here that perhaps hasn't even or ever existed yet. Let me say it a different way. If indeed reality is in the eye of the beholder, you're free to awaken to the big, huge, enormous truth that we come to Earth, or shall I say we open ourselves to be in relation to this three-dimensional phantasm called Earth, simply so that we can keep creation going. You're here simply to keep creation going in a new, fresh way. And so could it be that you're here, number one, to walk through and break through the usual human definitions, stories, assumptions, that is to free yourself from this thing called human, in quotes, reality. And then number two, and that's what we're focused on here, create yourself as a totally new presence, new human being, one that perhaps no one has ever thought of yet. Now, to what degree that, whatever degree that's true for you, this is your chance. You're in charge of creating your own experience. Whether you call it reality or fantasy, whether you see it as real or whatever, it doesn't matter. Or to say it another way, there's no reality outside of you, outside of your consciousness. Life is what we choose to see it to be. So it's up to you and me and us. We have the freedom. We have the permission. We have the right. We have the authority and the calling to be here, to be in relation to everything, to all of us, in relation to this thing called humanity, however we want, however you want, and in whatever way feels like, ah, this is my truth. Wow, to me, that's freedom. And you came into this realm with that very freedom tucked under your belt, hidden in your wallet, waiting in your heart, and getting louder and louder every minute. If I may, I'd like to say the same thing one more way. No person, no circumstance, no version of reality has any claim on you, on your perceptions, on your perspectives, or on your experience. You are a beautiful, radiant, brilliant, magnificent embodiment of God. You are a deserving, wondrous, dynamic force of creation. You're a walking miracle of life. And you radiate beauty everywhere you go. And as such, you stand before us, all of us today, with all the authority of the divine. For example, with the authority to create yourself anew any way you choose, to create freedom and possibility, to invent a new version of life if it's appropriate, and short and simple, to be happy your way forever. Now, as if that weren't enough, I'd like to share that third style of freedom that I referred to. It's this. And again, go with me here in what I'm about to proclaim and assert as far as you want, and then stop wherever you want. Here's the point. It's a simple sentence. You and you alone exist. May I repeat it? You and you alone exist. There's nothing else outside of you. No external reality outside your consciousness. There's no God outside your awareness. No universe, no earth, no humanity. All of those phenomena, God, life, higher dimension, lower dimension, everything, all of them are alive in that miraculous phenomenon called you. And they literally don't exist anywhere else. What's really neat is the Upanishads. Many of you are familiar with them, the ancient Hindu scriptures that are dedicated to describing the nature of reality and the soul, and that, if I'm not mistaken, were written about 600 BC or before the Common Era. The Upanishads say it this way, and this is a direct quote: "In the center of our own body, there is a small shrine in the form of a lotus flower, and within it can be found a small space. The heavens and the earth are there, the sun, the moon, and the stars, fire and lightning and winds, the whole universe dwells within our heart." What a beautiful and inspiring way to say everything, literally everything that ever was, is now, or ever will be, lives in that unique presence or consciousness called you. Yes, you are that central to creation. In some way beyond logic way, you are the center of all creation. You're where creation takes place. You're the very power and spark of life. Everything that is starts and ends with you. And I know if we look outside, it looks like it's all out there. But again, if I go back to that film I saw in my graduate program, we're all looking at it out there, and it looks anywhere from a little bit different to totally, totally different. So maybe, in truth, the only reality is what's in you. So, is it time in your life for you to look outside yourself and see not reality as it's conceived and decided upon by anyone else, not a world that's inviting you to think or behave or be influenced in some way that might create pain in your own heart or gut, but no, to look outside of yourself, look around yourself, and see yourself and see life as you know deep in your heart and soul it is. To look out and see exactly and precisely what your heart sees, looking through the lens of your all-knowing soul, and seeing what's in your soulful vision. See the world as you deeply feel inspired to see it, perceive it, know it, create it. Actually, it just may be that time for you and me and us and maybe all sorts of us. And it may just be that a number of us for whom it is time are just finding each other, like finding each other tonight on this call. It may just be. And in this regard, I'd like to share with you just a little story about what a number of people over the years have said to me. It goes something like this. Bill, I'm deeply inspired by what you say, but I'm so stuck in the mire of this human reality, let's put that in quotes, that it's impossible for me to achieve this kind of freedom. You make it sound as easy as snapping my fingers, but I just don't think it can work for me. Well, without my trying to sound minimizing of that concern or expression and perspective, because, you know, I've been there as much as anyone else has, I want to invite us beyond this kind of thinking. So again, journey with me, if you will, as I continue. My biggest response to that is this. Of course it's not easy for you, or for hardly anyone. And the reason it's not easy is that lodged somewhere in your psyche is a belief that you don't have a right to simply say no to where you've been and yes to what you feel inspired to perceive and create. Or you're harboring a belief that holds a central place in what we call human reality, that we have to work our way out of duality or work our way beyond pain or therapize our way outside the dream rather than simply picking up our ball and going home. And by home, I mean the real home of our heart and soul. Or it may be the belief that you just don't deserve to have it the easy way, or, and this is true of so many of us, that you came here to suffer or join humanity's suffering, or, may I say it this way, to suffer suffering. Actually, that's so cute. I never thought of that until actually today as I was sitting here thinking about this talk. To suffer suffering. Suffering, succotash, what am I saying? Well, and isn't all that simply a replaying of the stories that live outside the reality that we've come to believe is real and has owned us? And of course, it doesn't really own us at all. In fact, those stories, that reality that we've grown up accustomed to believing, doesn't even need to touch us because it literally and truly doesn't exist. It's not real. It's an illusion. It's really not there. I remember years back when Donna and I started reading A Course in Miracles. And actually, it was one of those books that we picked up, I think, three different times before we gave ourselves permission to get beyond the first page. And the first two times we picked it up, we got to that something on the first page or so that said, the chair you're looking at is not really a chair. And we looked at each other and we said, right, shut the book, put it on the shelf. And anyway, the third time we got beyond that and finished the whole book. But the point is that whether it's a chair or whether it's the reality or the view of life or whatever story we've got, it's very convincing. And yet, in truth, it's not there. It's not real. It doesn't exist. Nothing is there except you. Nothing except you and who you are. A God-filled, life-propelled manifestation of creation. An embodiment of creative possibilities. You, a presence teeming with limitless options for creating a world according to a model or a pattern of truth that lives richly, dynamically in your soul and is just waiting to come alive within your consciousness, within your world, within your, in quotes, reality. And that brings us to the crux of our time together today. To the all-important central theme of this conversation, and it's this. Maybe, just maybe, the only reason you came here, that is, entered into this three-dimensional phantasm called human life, maybe the only reason is to bring your unlimited creative gifts and add your own personalized, divine, inspired touch to this world called creation. Or to say it another way, maybe the only reason you're here is to create the world anew in your image and likeness and to keep the beauty of ongoing creation alive by adding to it, to invent patterns or styles of possibilities that you and only you could come up with and in that way keep Godness alive and be the creative arms and hands of the divine as you perceive or experience a world, yes, a world of your own making. What do you think does this world or will this world of your own making be like? Let's think about it, maybe map it out a little bit, allow it to surface, not only in your imagination, but in the creative genius of your inspiration. The first thing I know is that the design of your world already lives within you. And now that you've let go of a seeming external reality as much as you already have over this past half hour or so, this inspired design that's in you is freer to enter your image-rich mind, freer to make itself known to you, and even to bring with it the very gifts and tools to imprint it onto your internal lens, into your personal perspective, onto the inner screen of what you now see with fresh eyes. I personally don't know what the world that you came here to create is or looks like, but I do know that whatever its design, whatever its nature, it's exactly perfect. Perfect for you, and I believe just right for me and everybody else. So as you're opening to the pictures or images or thoughts of this world, your world, the world that you came here to create, what do you see or intuit or sense or feel? I'd be willing to bet it's a world wherein your soul is the designer, your heart the creator, your spirit the celebrator. I imagine that this special world of your soulful design, whether it looks like anyone else's world or not, is alive in creativity, awash in beauty, and aglow in possibility. Even more, I'm willing to wager that your world is one I frankly would love to live in, and that all of us here would love to indulge in. I image that it's a world in which we'd all feel safe and supported and celebrated, a world in which we'd feel your original intention through and through, and in which your divine identity could be felt everywhere and in everything. Personally, I'd be honored to live in your world. I was on the phone this morning with a customer service person. It's a person, this is probably the third conversation I've had with her, who after a couple minutes with me, and she's usually pretty up, she said, you know, I'm not sure I can keep up with your upbeat and positive tone, Bill. I'm actually having a hard time jump-starting my day. Well, I was pretty touched, and after saying a couple of emphatic sentences to let her know I understood and accepted where she was at. I'm just saying that because, you know, none of you perceive me as that. You perceive me as having this hard external core. But I had a moment of weakness, and I did that. But after that, I said, because it seemed appropriate in the conversation, you know, I learned a little while back that I do really well in my life so long as I don't look to anyone or anything outside of myself for my entertainment. She seemed to like that. And that was, frankly, my mundane way of saying everything we've been talking about, of saying that I have a right to create my own reality, that I'm in charge of my own show, that I have built into myself my own, what do we call that, home entertainment system, that I perceive and interact with a world that's really of my own creative divine design. And in the same vein, sometimes I'll hear another version of that coming out of my lips, saying to someone something like, so long as I take charge of creating my own entertainment, life seems to work well for me. So it's a small, seemingly crude, and of course I think cute way of saying that I and every one of us have the right to create the world according to our own divine design. I'm suggesting, of course, that all of us, you, I, every one of us here, are capable, deserving, permissioned, and empowered enough to claim our divine heritage and create the world of our soul-filled dreams. This to me is the largest version of the secret, not so much centering the creation around a version of personality or personality-based desires, but to create a world of our soul-filled dreams. So how about it? Does this freedom, this approach, this invitation appeal to you? I'd like to assume that you would not have felt inspired to tune into this talk unless something deep in you, call it your innate wisdom, your heartful knowing, wanted you to hear this invitation from the outside, but to hear it from the outside in order to have these external words ignite those same invitations, those same possibilities, that same truth from within inside you. So if that assumption on my part is right, then let's delve into this new freedom and leap forward in a few very specific ways. So I'd like to present to you 6 permissions, at least what this afternoon I decided to call 6 permissions. 6 specific permissions you can give yourself that may help you be the divine creator of life. First, give yourself permission to say no. No to the world that you see around you. Take the bold step of refusing to believe what you see. In the words of good old Nancy Reagan, just say no. Second, give yourself permission to say yes. Yes to your personal right to create the world in your own way, completely. Yes, completely. Own that you have a divine birthright and heritage and calling that gives you the authority to create life as your soul-driven truth moves you, to see the world around you through the lenses of your soul, to perceive life through the glasses of your heart. Third, give yourself permission to investigate your soulful depths, examine your heartful center, search your innermost truth, and uncover anew the design, the literal design for your new and exciting world, because that design already lives deep, deep, deep within your core. Uncover it, get clear about it, and fourth, give yourself permission to launch your world. Even if you don't have the full picture yet of its design, hey, none of us has the full picture of anything, so let's just go with what we've got. That's right, permission to launch your world, put it into gear. Activate its possibilities, experiment with it, play with it, give it every possibility to take root in your consciousness and come into its fullness in your awareness. Fifth, give yourself permission to enjoy. Enjoy your new creation. After all, you're the creative God or goddess of life. And one of the main purposes in creating anything is to love it, enjoy it, find delight in it, take delight in it. Take delight in its lusciousness, its boldness, its creativity, its wonder, its beauty, its perfection, the humor of it, the silliness of it, its potential for even more. It's yours, therefore it's great, and it deserves to be loved and enjoyed. Finally, number 6, give yourself permission, and this may sound out of place, but it's not, to love yourself. That's right, to love yourself. Remind yourself that you have an enormous privilege. It's the privilege to create the whole world according to your own divine design. And you wouldn't have that wondrous privilege unless you deserved it and had come here for it and had already placed within yourself the capacity to pull it off perfectly. You deserve love just as the divine deserves love. So, you'll love this. Be the first kid on your block to love yourself. And while you're at it, to love yourself completely, all the way, without holding back. Go for complete and total love, starting with the Creator, herself, himself, you. The Creator, you. When you love yourself, then you love your creations, and they love you back, and by golly, everything's perfect. So we're heading toward the final stretch. Are you ready? Let's do it. In fact, let's do it together. After all, there's limitless power in numbers. Let's all give ourselves permission, in whatever feels right to you, to be free. Free of what we've come to call humanity's collective reality, in quotes, and to create our own, each of us individually, with the support of all of us. And what that means right now is you have the total and complete support of every one of us right here to be free. In your own way, free from any other created reality, and free to create a world that is inspired in, propelled from, that divine center of you that we've come to call your soul. And please know that I stand with you. I stand beside you and behind you and inside you and as you, in 100% support of your claiming and living your divine purpose as a divine creator of a divine world that is, oh, forgive me for saying it, simply divine, as you are simply divine. And as a final piece to this puzzle, may I read to you a poem that I've recently written. You just knew this was coming, didn't you? Actually, I wanted to read at least three of my poems because each one of them speaks to this theme from a different perspective. But I've chosen this one because, just because. Maybe because I just finished it and no one besides Donna has heard this poem before this very moment. Oh, it's too good. It's called Delight. It happened one day as I was attending to my oughts, engaged and lost in my very important thoughts, that I noticed a strange but quite charming sight. I saw a man actually experiencing delight. Yes, finding delight in everything in his sight. I saw him laugh openly as he watched children play. He felt the fruits, relished the scents of the market's vast display. He tasted the sweetness that the smallest touch could bestow, while looking at it all with eyes fully aglow. He's truly present, I thought. He doesn't just survive. He's fully engaged, really here, not just half alive. He's focused and attentive to whatever comes his way, so very present to life's every unexpected play. How impressive he was, this man of simplicity, this humble representative of life's hidden felicity. I confess that in my own complexity, my very bright stupidity, I had simply forgotten and failed to see the delicious delicacy of each day's simple activity. As I savored his delight at all these coincidences, I came suddenly to my own senses. I lost my careful defenses. I realized the truth that this ordinary sage put on display, that fascination can be found in every day's mystery. On that day, I awoke. I opened to the delight inherent in everything in my previously dull life. The birds, the breeze, the smells of spring, the wonders that hide or are often unforeseen. Yes, I opened my eyes to the preciousness of life, the gifts that grant us their endless delight. Now, I look at the sky or see the trees, look into your eyes or feel the breeze, drink in the sun's rays or peer through the day's haze. I find the wonder, the marvel, the hidden surprise of the lows, the highs, or the cloudy sunrise. Delight, oh delight, you've captured my sight. Whatever I notice, I now call to my focus, even vital or trite. The smallest detail, the tiniest of life's twists, I behold its beauty as it invites me to a bliss that seemed earlier so unachievable, but now is, oh, so believable. Yes, delight, oh delight, I've found your veiled treasure in this world's display of sensual pleasure. Chaos or perfection or whatever seems to lie in between now ignites my heart with its delicious theme as it sparks my life and gives me the steam that makes each day the fulfillment of my hidden dream. Delight, oh delight, I await you tonight. Thank you so very, very, very much.